This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Happy Monday. Welcome to the Annie Fry Show. There is so much to talk about today, and I'm so glad to be back here in the chair, ready to cover all of it. Joe Concha is going to be with us at 12:25. We've got Steve Moore on the economy at 1:05, right at the top of the 1 o'clock hour. And Will Chamberlain is going to update us on the congressional efforts to limit district judges. We'll discuss that with Will Chamberlain at 1:25. But I want to get to the YouTube poll right now. This is going to be a fun one. I was kind of toying with the idea, maybe possibly taking phone calls on this. I don't know if we're going to get to that because we do have a pretty packed show. But there was a conversation taking place this weekend, and it's taken place in several other several other times over the course of probably maybe in the campaign, even where Donald Trump was asked a certain question or it's posed to him, and he has a way of tugging at people.
Not joking about a third term, about possibly wanting a third term. Does that mean you're not planning to leave office on January
20th? I'm not looking at that, but I'll tell you, I have had more people ask me to have a third term, which is in a way a fourth term because the other election, the 2020 election, was totally rigged. So it's actually sort of a fourth term in a certain way. I just don't want the credit for the second because Biden was so bad. He did such a bad job. And I think that's one of the reasons that I'm popular, if you want to know the truth. I think I'm popular because we've done a great job. I think we've had the best almost 100 days of any president. And most people are saying that. And it's an honor. We're bringing back our country. We're respected as a country again. And we're strongly respected. And people are amazed. I was with some very important people today, and they said that they've never seen a turnaround of a country as fast as this. Even look at our border. We have nobody coming in. And you can't come into our country, but you have to come in legally. But we have nobody coming in to our country. It's almost shut down. They've never seen anything like this.
The Constitution limits a president to two terms. Is it your understanding that they have to be?
I don't even want to talk about it. I'm just telling you, I have had more people say, please run again. They said, we have a long way to go before we even think about that. But I've had a lot of people. Yeah, go ahead. Did you have some?
Yeah, I just wanted to ask, do you think that's an appropriate precedent to set, even if it wasn't you in this position, to see a president serve a third term?
I don't want to talk about a third term now, because no matter how you look at it, we got a long time to go. We have a long time. You know, we have almost 4 years to go. And that's a long time. But despite that, so many people are saying, you've got to run again. They love the job we're doing. Most importantly, they love the job we're doing.
Yeah. Would you please promise to not run for a third term, for the love of God? Well, I don't want to talk about that. But what about the third term? And I'm going to go read Andy's comment here. Andy. I love you, Andy. You're here every day, and we appreciate you for being that. On YouTube, he says, no, and I'm shocked. Who could have thought this would ever need to be a poll? It's our poll for today, and I hope that you will come vote and tell us what you think. Would you support a third term for President Trump? Yes or no? Who do we know who the reporter was that was not giving up on that question?
No idea.
Okay, I got a little bit of a theory here. This is totally off. This is cheese off the cracker theory. You guys ready for it?
Love these.
Yeah, I know you do. That's what makes me question if I should say it out loud, Ryan Wiggins.
Well, you can bring it on and I'll give you a grade.
We've got special elections this week. Wisconsin, Florida, congressional seats, hugely implicative on the balance of power in the House of Representatives. I'm kind of more suspicious about the signal thing now. People were like, ooh, it happened right before the intelligence hearing. Wow, they dropped it in right before the intelligence hearing. These folks are looking for a scandal. And this is where, especially knowing that we are 2 months into Donald Trump's term, I'm sniffing. I'm hunting, which means I'm going to catch wind of some things that maybe aren't actually going to materialize into what I'm wondering about. But we're probably also going to see some of these things a little bit earlier than other folks might, just because we're looking for them. But they need a scandal. Donald Trump did too long of doing everything that he said he was going to do. People are like, can you believe he's doing that? And everyone's like, yeah, I voted for that. That's why I voted for him. Never voted for Trump before, but that's why I voted for him now. And he's hitting home runs one after the other after the other. The worst he's doing is it's not quite a home run, it's a double. And they don't have anything to push against him because the messaging on policy doesn't work for the Democrats. And you can tell because they don't even try. There's no, we talked about this last week. Name a concern that the Democrats have right now about what Donald Trump is doing. Name anything that they're out there strongly advocating for their policy to be enacted instead of what Trump is doing, or where they're trying to lobby Donald Trump to see things a little bit differently than he sees them, or to consider a different policy, or maybe a different, maybe it's 75% Trump policy and 25% you could see it our way, or, you know, that whole like 80% compromise thing that Reagan talked about. The Democrats don't have anything right now. And you can tell because they're in an emotional breakdown across the country, an absolute fits and tantrums, emotional, mental breakdown. And I'm convinced that the people who are very much so invested in the success of beating Donald Trump know that they have to keep the people angry. They have to keep the voters, the electorate. There has to be an appearance that there is a righteous indignation that you can hitch your wagon to. And, you know, okay, maybe you aren't going to go out and key a Tesla, but I will put my hate has no homes sign in my front yard. And then we're just all together and unified. They are unified. The lunatic version of the Democratic left is unified, but it's repelling people who don't love Trump but aren't interested in being associated with what the Democratic Party has become. So when you listen to Donald Trump there on Air Force One answering this reporter's question over and over and over again, and he rebuffs the question every time, it's never about what Donald Trump is saying he wants to do. Donald Trump didn't say, I'm going to call a 1 p.m. presser where I'm going to talk about my plans for my third term. That didn't happen. Plant the seeds, see what grows, see what people will latch onto. And the signal chat thing from last week, I mean, I don't even know if that's a story, if that's going to be a story that permeates this week by Thursday, if that will still be discussed. But they need something else. And they need you to be frightened when it comes time to vote. And this week, it's time to vote in Florida and in Wisconsin. Guys, the Democrats always do well in these special elections. They always do well in the special elections. It's a huge story if a Republican wins one of these, because the amount of money that gets flooded into these special elections, they don't even honestly care a whole lot about the seat. They care about the narrative that comes after winning that election, where you can say, look, they're shaking fists at the sky in Florida or in Wisconsin. Well, listen, you lost the really important Wisconsin race when Donald Trump won in 2024, and you're going to put all of your resources behind trying to show that the tides have changed. Donald Trump has been president, and Wisconsin feels differently right now. That's the plan. That's what they're going to do. People don't, it's hard enough to get people to vote in general elections. People don't vote. People don't vote in special elections. The percentage of people who vote in scheduled spring elections. We've got, I know in Illinois, in, what is it, next Tuesday? Not this Tuesday, but the next Tuesday?
We've got local elections this Tuesday.
Yeah.
This Tuesday.
Yeah. Tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Yeah.
Okay. There you go. It's time to get out and vote.
Now, Missouri has some elections that are next Tuesday, though, so it depends.
Okay, that, yeah. I've been watching a lot of the people who are, you know, advocating, my friends on my personal social media feeds, who are advocating for their local, you know, if you're looking at aldermen, or you're looking at mayors, or you're looking at, you know, whatever the case might be, school boards, library boards. Support Andrew Kassenbaum for the Glen Carbon Library Board. That'd be great. It's not an unpaid endorsement. These are really important, necessary elections to vote in. Go see how many votes it takes to win one of these elections. Your mind will be blown.
Oh, yeah. In Collinsville, and we have some really contentious elections going on in Collinsville right now.
Anybody, I mean, you want to endorse
up
here
and
on
down
the line? Show?
Well, Derek Cox has been the township supervisor, and I would say the left in Collinsville is going after him hard.
Yeah, I like Derek Cox. He's a good vote, I think.
He is a fiscal conservative, and he has done a lot of stuff to try to save the city money, and man, they've just gone after him up and down the line. Though it's like library board, everything is on the line in Collinsville for some reasons, making semi statewide news. But I voted on Saturday. Early voting ended about an hour after I voted, so very little time between when I voted and when early voting would end. 760 people had voted in the entire city.
706. Like, you know enough people to throw that election one way or the other.
I'm talking
yeah. to you right now through the radio speakers. You could do this yourself. Make it happen. Show up and advocate for somebody if you know that there's somebody. Library boards really matter.
Yes.
It's kind of crazy.
And it's amazing how the national narrative has become local. To the point that I have people knocking on my door telling me, yeah, we want to get less Christianity in the libraries. I kid you not. People have come to my door, knocked on my door and said, yeah, we represent that faction. I'm like, I don't think I'd be voting
with
you.
Why are they coming to your door? Aren't you a registered Republican?
I don't know if I'm registered Republican. I might be registered independent still, because I like hearing from the candidates.
Man, that's a good reason for me to register Republican.
I like when they come and they tell me those things, because I ask a couple questions. The only interaction I really would have with them is that moment.
Do you reply, have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?
I did not.
Which is not a Lutheran thing to say,
just,
by the way.
My eyes got wide and they realized, oh, maybe we hit the wrong talking point with this potential voter.
Who are your candidates?
The entire apparatus of feigned manufactured outrage. It's so important to look at the timelines on these things. And the idea, I'm really curious. I regret right now not making the options in this poll different. I said, would you support a third term for president? Yes or no? I should have done yes, no, but it would be funny. Or no, that's unconstitutional. Because I think the no's will probably get more votes in that version than in my straight up yes or no.
Yeah.
I know you support Donald Trump. Well, I don't know that you do, but most listening do. And if you don't, then of course you wouldn't support a third term. But do you want to see him, you know, break the mold and try to attempt a third term? Is that what you need? Is that what America needs? I really want to read some of the comments throughout the course of the show on this. And maybe, depending on what kind of reaction we get, maybe we should set a bar for the show that if by 2 o'clock we get a certain number of votes in the poll, that we'll take calls in the 2 o'clock hour.
That sounds fun.
Yeah.
300 votes by the 2 o'clock hour, which is high. We don't always get 300 votes in the whole thing. But if we get 300 votes by the time we open the mics in the 2 o'clock hour, which is like 2:06, we'll take phone calls in that segment on whether or not you would support a third term for President Trump.
I also want to mention, this is now, what, year 9 or 10 of the Donald Trump era in the United States, that he would answer questions like this should not be a surprise to anybody. You know, when they ask him, are you opposed?
It's a surprise to the left every time.
It really is. I saw the headline this weekend and went, here we go.
I don't
know the context, but I really want to see it.
I sound like a cartoon ghost.
It sounds like, wasn't that Elizabeth Warren? Yeah.
So sad. So scary.
But when he does this, it's just the same as, you're not going to take any military action to get Greenland, right? He's like, I don't think we would probably do that, but, you know.
He's going to invade Greenland.
I would prefer that we not do that. You're like, well, that's not the answer that you'd think that you would give as a politician. And he's doing that here. He's like, oh, gosh, we're in our third term now.
Listen, I don't even want to talk about it.
Hook, line, sinker every single time. I continue to look across this administration and think that they are delivering. They're way outpacing what I think any of us expected them to do, and we knew that they were going to be hitting the ground running. We knew that they were going to be prepared on day one. I get the president's schedule every day, and every day it's like 1 o'clock or 3 o'clock or 4 o'clock. President signs executive orders. I just think they just leave it in there. Like, oh, we got to get some EOs to sign by 1 o'clock. What do you got?
Paper straws? Yeah, let's do that today.
I got nothing. This straw sucks. How about we get rid of them? It's just the way it goes every day. Let's see here. Erica says, no, constitutionally, he's done in 2028. Let the next generation of MAGA take over. Wolf says, 2 terms is just fine. Make way for JD to get in next. Vicky says, absolutely not. This is when I wish he would have someone tell him, quote, no need for stupid comments. And Jack says, no, absolutely not. We have term limits for a reason. And of course, Andy said, no, and I'm shocked. Who could have thought this would ever need to be a poll? And the biggest takeaway I have, Andy, is that you thought that the Annie Fry Show poll is a need. Thank you. I appreciate that. Very flattering.
It determines national policy.
It does. That, you know, they're listening right now. Maybe we should come up with some EO suggestions. We should do a segment on that. I have some ideas.
Oh, yeah, that's a good idea.
Let's take a quick break. Joe Concha will be with us when we come back. Always plenty to talk about, and Joe Concha is one of our favorite guests to have on. Fox News contributor Joe Concha, next.
And I've also lost a lot of fans for that. The woke people have left the building, and I'm willing to make that sacrifice. But it does give you a certain credibility.
So there's Bill Maher talking to Chris Cuomo about the meeting at the White House with Donald Trump. And it's been very interesting to listen to both of them be like, well, I guess I'll give it a try and see what can happen. And they're talking about using this as an opportunity to potentially move towards healing. Let's talk to our friend Joe Concha about it, Fox News contributor and author. His new book coming out very soon, The Greatest Comeback Ever, Inside Trump's Big Beautiful Campaign. Joe, welcome back. Good to have you here.
Happy Monday. How are you, Annie?
Happy Monday. Doing well. Weather is nice here. Baseball is back in session. So I got to say, it's been good so far. Do you buy into this, the genuine nature of the Bill Maher, Donald Trump get together?
Yeah, I really do. I think that Bill Maher, you probably play clips of Bill Maher every Monday, Annie, right? I mean, he says something that goes completely against the grain, things that you'll never, ever hear on MSNBC or CNN outside of a guy named Scott Jennings. And he's been calling this out for a while, not when it became kind of politically cool to do so again, as far as he had Newsom on, as you just played, for example, this weekend. And I'm sorry, that was his conversation with Chris Cuomo, but he did have Gavin Newsom on this weekend. And he was basically like lecturing Newsom, like, why do you have a law that says that if a child wants to have a sex change or is using like different pronouns than their biological, you know, birth chromosome, right? Why do you have a law that says the parents shouldn't be notified about that? And Newsom hemmed and hawed and you know, basically tried to explain the law as well. You know, we just don't want to get teachers fired for snitching. Well, I'm pretty sure as a parent, you're going to snitch, all right, Mr. Teacher or Mrs. Teacher, because I want to know if my kid needs some mental health assistance, right? If they're considering, you know, a sex change or using different pronouns. And that's the thing. Like, he's like, you're never going to win an election again as long as you keep supporting this stuff or men playing against women in sports. So I think he's been doing it for a while. I think Trump, this is the ultimate troll. I mean, this is because it's going to drive the left crazy when you see those photos of Bill Maher and Donald Trump meeting in the Oval Office. I think he's smart to do it, just like he was smart to do it, Trump was, when Scarborough, Joe Scarborough, Mika Brzezinski, hat in hand, went down to Mar-a-Lago after all the horrible things that they have said about him and said, sure, you can kiss my ring. That's fine. That's what Trump's doing here with Mar, not kissing the ring, but having a conversation. And that's what drives the left crazy, because they're incapable of doing it the other way. That's certainly for sure.
Yeah, I agree with that. And just even in the campaign, it was very important to the left for people to not humanize Donald Trump. Like, you can't even give him the dignity of respect that a human, you have to degrade him to be subhuman. Otherwise, it's scary for the Democratic left. They're going to worry that people are going to maybe even consider the things that Donald Trump is offering the American people. And now we have some second term receipts to go along with the first term on what Donald Trump is capable of doing. And, I was reading about how Trump is doing this as a favor to Kid Rock. Kid Rock wanted to make this happen. I mean, how cool, in this first time in my lifetime, in 40 years, I think, that I've really identified the Republican Party as being the cool party.
That's such a great observation. They are. At this point, when you think about who's on the left, for example, that supports, say, Kamala Harris, let's go back to her campaign, right? So she sits down on the Who's Your Daddy podcast, but then they pay like $100,000 to like remake the studio. Like, for what reason? Even the host was like, what's this about? Or they'll have Oprah, right? Was just still does that, a positively annoying yelling thing. Now, here comes Kamala! You're like, nobody thinks this is funny. And maybe 30 years ago in the 90s, you got me on that, but not now. And then you just go down the line. Like, you look at late night TV, and it's like, it used to be like, our guest tonight, George Clooney and Julia Roberts. Now it's like, we got Bernie Sanders and Pete Buttigieg. It's like, where are the cool folks over there? And you're right, Kid Rock or Dana White or Joe Rogan, who was a Democrat forever, by the way, they lost him. Elon Musk, yeah, they're definitely the cool party right now, and they're no longer the stuffy country club Republicans. That's certainly for sure, and Donald Trump leads that charge, obviously, as being the cool one.
But, and he, like you said, regarding the Bill Maher sit-down, that he's willing to sit down and listen. And the other side, they not only won't sit down and listen, if they don't like it, they go into a total fits and tantrums vandalism. And, it's just the irony of ironies that the left is now vandalizing the electric vehicles that they really wanted to push on people. I don't think that that's attractive to anybody.
It's just, I do not understand why more Democrats, Andy, will not just come forward, right? They have social media, microphones, in their face all the time, and just say, this is wrong, this must stop. This is an American company that employs 125,000 people. And instead, we have here in New York State, for example, one local state senator who is now trying to get Tesla dealerships closed down. And she says, well, it's just for competition. We want to get other, EV makers in here. And okay, so that's what the government is supposed to do now? Competition happens naturally, not because the government mandates it. But the violence thing, as far as, it's not just like, hey, they're going to key a couple of Teslas here and there. Literally Molotov cocktails, firebombing, shots at Tesla dealerships. Somebody's going to get killed. And then that's probably going to be celebrated by the left, because these are the same people that celebrated the CEO of United Healthcare being shot in the back, on a New York City street. And then this Luigi Mangione has raised something like $500,000 on a GoFundMe page. And you got idiots like Tim Miller saying, well, he is kind of hot. It's like, we have lost all sense of shame and sanity at this point if we're celebrating Luigi Mangione and American companies being attacked. That I do know.
Yeah, that whole story has blown my mind. That was, I keep thinking that we've pretty much seen it all. And then we see someone be like, well, he shot him in broad daylight, but I didn't really like what that guy did. So people are justifying it. It's a new low for us societally, I think. And I'm thinking about too. When I'm looking at the left and I'm looking at what they cheer for, and I'm seeing the likes of failed vice presidential candidate Tim Walz on the stage, just getting, it was a little too much of a fantasy moment to watch him look at his Tesla stock on the stock app thing on his Apple iPhone, and he's cheering for the degradation of this American company. And all for what? Like, at the end of the day, if he gets his jollies off of looking at a stock price on his phone, when he closes that app on his phone, what happens next? I mean, is that just the hit that he needs in order to get through the rest of his day? Because that doesn't really seem, as somebody who is serving as a public servant in elected office, what's best for the people who he is supposed to be serving.
Ooh, I know what happens next. Then he looks at the Minnesota State Pension, which has millions of dollars invested in, ding, 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 Tesla. So when the stock falls, then the state pension loses money. This idiot doesn't realize that, or, you know, was I watch these rallies. I'm thinking, is there a two-drink minimum? I mean, this is like stand-up at this point. It's not even funny. This guy's like the least cultured person at a bus station, Tim Walz. And I still cannot get over that Kamala Harris chose her over him over Josh Shapiro. And now, you know, he's going to run for president in 2028. I don't think he gets the nomination, but yet to cheer that stuff on. And then later, you know, when he was finally confronted about it, he said, oh, these people are so serious. They don't have a sense of humor. There's zero funny things about this. But yeah, that's the thing. It's either make jokes about it, or then AOC or Nancy Pelosi, when they were asked about it, you know, basically run away from the microphones and don't just say, this is wrong, it shouldn't happen. Mm. You may disagree with Elon Musk, but that's the whole thing. I saw a poll, Annie, 77% of Americans agree with Doge's mission. So if you take Elon Musk out of it, just 77%. No one agrees on 77% of Americans can't agree on what time it is, let alone, you know, come across like this in a poll. But then you look at Elon Musk's numbers, and he's like at favorability, like, you know, 40%, 35%. It's like, well, how could that be? It would be like the, let's see, what are they called again? The Battle Hawks of St. Louis. Winning a championship this year and then saying, yeah, exactly. And then saying, you know, if the coach sucks. But wait a minute. I don't get it. You like the team, but you don't like the mission, you know, but you don't like the coach. That's like how it is with Elon Musk. They like the mission, but, you know, he's been portrayed as like this Nazi. And I guess enough people buy it, which is ironic because he went to Auschwitz last year to denounce anti-Semitism. But yeah, no one bothers mentioning that.
Yeah, it's so upside down. It's hard to understand. But then if it makes no sense, it's hard to make sense of it, of course. Joe Concha, before we let you go, I think, is your book coming out in April? The greatest comeback ever?
Yeah.
Tell me
about
it.
Finally, we're almost in April, April 29th. You can pre-order it now on Amazon or wherever you buy books. The greatest comeback ever, Inside Trump's Big Beautiful Campaign, unburdened by what has been. I don't know why I like reading it in the Cosell voice, but That's okay. Sounds Cosellian. And Cosell's in the book. So there you go.
Well, we will be making sure that we get a copy of that, Joe. We appreciate your time today. And things continue to look up, even though the Democrats are not really too happy about it. But the less happy they are about it, the bigger the fits, the more I think that we're over the target.
There you go. And congratulations to Amber Ruffin on getting fired from an unfireable position at the White House Correspondents' Dinner. Great, great job. Well done.
The unfireable position. Thank you, Joe. We'll talk to you again soon. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Yeah, the comedian is who he's referring to. Completely anti-Trump comedian. You know, the White House Correspondents' Dinner, which is where it's kind of a roast of sorts. People get up there, they make jokes, and all the people in the press that are a part of the White House Correspondents Association get together and have a night. There's nothing wrong with doing that. People do that all the time in all different industries. But it's just essentially, you know, if you question which way the media leans, and then you watch who they bring into this event, and you watch the kind of jokes that the people there find funny, they're always at the expense of the right. That's where Barack Obama or whoever it was, Keenan Peele or whoever it was up there and was talking about maybe Donald Trump will run for president. People have commented that might have been the moment where Trump said, well, maybe I will. That very anti-Trumper comedian was hired and fired in a very succinct amount of time. They need to get Nate Bargatze up there. It would be so funny. I think he would do a bang-up job. I would totally watch Theo Vaughn up there. That would be mind-blowing. I don't even know how he would handle that, but I would be here for it for sure. Quick break. When we come back, Weekends America, the Monday roundup, those stories that you missed that you need to know, according to Ryan Wiggins, of course. That's next here on The Andy Fry Show.
Well, I don't know that
fire. There's a thousand pretty women waiting.
Playing this guitar so fast.
They're all living.
Well, I never thought about that.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just a
no, not that. Just the strumming. It's just.
Is Elvis is playing it?
I don't know. Somebody is.
You know what
play a guitar.
You know what it reminds me of?
What?
It reminds me of the Coconut Mall music from Mario Kart.
Generational.
Do you hear it? Ah, yes, Coconut Mall.
We just think of Elvis because that was our generation.
Yeah.
You're thinking Mario Kart.
I hate that I like understand more of the Elvis than the Mario Kart references.
Wait, no one understands that?
I understand. But you reference a specific song. In Mario Kart, that is
a
little
specific
beyond me.
Track.
Come on, like Coconut Mall is like the most popular Mario Kart racing track.
Duh.
Oh. Okay.
Wiggins. Oh, with a Monday roundup. This here's the wildest ride in the wilderness.
Mario Kart really did revolutionize gaming. I remember going to church lock-ins when I was 13, 14 years old and playing multiplayer Mario Kart for the SNES.
The best.
And it was like this, I think we've achieved Nirvana. And we were also really into the band Nirvana at that time. So a lot of references.
Well, I think we've spanned about half a century there.
Let's talk sports this weekend to begin the Monday roundup. The St. Louis fans were very, very pleased this weekend. I was one of them. Lots of streaks, unbroken. First of all,
yeah,
the
especially
Blues.
Your streak.
Streaking?
It's in the paper.
Oh, that one. Now, when it comes to sports streaking...
He's wearing a Derek Cox for mayor.
For mayor. He's not even running for mayor, which is really...
What is he running for?
I didn't even accomplish
chair,
my goal.
County chair?
Yeah, county supervisor.
City supervisor?
County supervisor. Yeah.
That's why it was scandalous.
Yeah.
He had it for mayor. Derek's like, God dang it.
This naked idiot didn't even know who he was supporting for what. But yeah, I did go down onto the ice, so the Blues game completely nude.
What?
What were you saying?
I heard it was at the Cardinals game.
Now you got to do ice if you're really brave.
Yeah. Sounds terrible.
So the Blues
he was
are very,
running,
very
running across the
gutsy.
Field there just holding a pineapple.
I was trying to send a message. The Blues have won 9 straight.
Woo!
9 straight games, amazingly, and they are knocking on the door of their all-time franchise record now of 11 games, which came in what year?
2019.
And I actually asked Ethan to look up what the all-time NHL longest win streak was right before coming in here, and you found it was...
17 games in 1992-93, the Pittsburgh Penguins.
17 games is a streak?
Is the longest NHL record streak ever.
What's
halfway
the long,
there.
What's the longest distance you've ever streaked?
I would say the length of like the blue line down to the goalie... Down to the red line.
You didn't mean to go that
ice,
far, but you just
impressive.
Started a slide.
How much of that was running?
Very little. I fell down hard, and I slid the rest of the way.
On your face or on your back?
Face first.
Oh. You slid nude on the ice?
Yeah.
Face first?
That poor audience.
And the Derek Cox for mayor was on my chest, so nobody even saw it. I just fell straight down.
They saw something else.
If Derek Cox hears about this, I don't know that he's going to be real happy.
He's a good guy. You should support him.
Yeah,
better than Ryan does, at least. Yeah. You should go vote for him because of what Ryan's done to him.
You can't you can't say I didn't try, though. I mean, I got arrested by the Blues police. The shovel kids came out and beat me with their shovels.
Oh,
my
no.
bare butt. I know.
Wow. That's terrible.
I know. 88% chance now that the Blues make the playoffs. That is almost equal to Minnesota at this point.
It was a 7% chance a little over a month ago, just for context.
7% chance a month ago.
Yes.
What is it now?
Amazing.
88.
88% chance. They just keep winning. So that's looking good. The Cardinals, surprisingly, have not lost a game yet.
Not surprisingly, everybody knew this was going to happen.
Year.
Do you not have faith?
I went to the
Brethren?
Game yesterday. And
how was it?
It was a blast. It was a really good time, other than the fact that there was a rain delay. But we were, you know, we had free food and stuff, so we just kind of ate our way through the rain delay. Had a great time.
Free or included?
Included. It was a party.
That's isn't it always?
Always at a Cardinals game. But when the cookies flow like wine, you just keep eating.
Those cookies are so good.
I know.
They're dangerous.
Those little triangle brownies. So we had all the food we could eat, and that was really the best part of the day. The second best part was the Cardinals win.
How many treats did you eat?
It was over 3.5 hours, so... 7?
What?!
Honestly, that's not that bad for 3.5 hours in a Cardinals game.
I paced it with some protein, too, and some salad.
What, some hot dogs?
Did you get some nachos?
No.
You just held a plate of salad. You just held it.
Held it.
That's what I do with beer.
I believe it.
It just,
so
it
nobody asks
like
you
I'm
if you need another
beer.
One.
And I start drinking. I'm like, man, it tastes good, but I really don't want any more than about a third of it.
Did the salad make it onto the field with you when you streaked?
No, but they did, and I did streak there too. Thank you. They did
that third of
cut
the
off the food at about 2:45.
Did you protest?
So we decided that instead of wasting the food, we would throw it out into the crowd like Fred Bird slings T-shirts.
Look at you taking care of the people.
Uh-huh. And we said
all the 30,000 people there.
So all that was to say it was a fun sports weekend. Although the NCAA bracket, I don't know about anybody else, I thought it's been incredibly boring.
Terrible
tournament.
Awful.
Okay, thank you, because I feel
upset.
The same way.
Seems pretty good to me.
All number one seeds, it's just the favorites win every game, and they're not even really close games.
No.
It's just been a boring tournament. Is this a product of the portal thing? Is this the way it's going to be from now on?
I hate the portal. I am
nervous to say that it is. I want to see what next year looks like, because this is really the first year where it's been this intense. So if it's like this again next year, then I think there's no doubt that it is. I'm more concerned this year that it might be.
Is that the name image likeness stuff?
Yes.
Can the NCAA just change the rules if they want to, though? Or is there congressional approval and stuff that has to go into?
In a little over a week, they're going to be coming out with a ruling, I guess, regulating NIL to a certain extent. We just don't know what it's going to be.
Okay.
It's supposed to be, I think, April 8th.
So they're going to do something.
Yes.
We just don't know what it is. All right. Thank you. All right. Next story. What to know about Hard Rock Cafe's closure in Chicago. One of their iconic stores in Chicago is closing after 40 years in business. The spot was one of the chain's oldest locations and a decades-old fixture in Chicago's River North neighborhood, best known for its giant neon guitar illuminating the streets surrounding it. The problem is that, A, Hard Rock won't say why they closed the store. So if it was business, you'd just say, well, they say it wasn't doing enough business. Don't know why. And then second, that leaves only one Hard Rock Cafe in all of Illinois now, and it's in Rockford. So they don't even have one in Southern Illinois or in Chicago.
Where would you put it in Southern Illinois?
I'm just saying. If it was on the Metro East Side.
Huh?
If it was in the Metro East Side.
Which?
That would be the only place.
Which of the suburbs are really Hard Rock?
Freeburg.
Yeah. I was going to say Freeburg, but
Jerseyville kind of gives me those vibes.
But Brad already said it. So the Hard Rock Cafe that was planned for Freeburg, I guess, never materialized.
No.
But there are none in Chicago now, only one in Rockford. And what are your thoughts about Hard Rock Cafe in general, just before I move on? Fan?
You used to have one here, didn't we?
Wasn't it at
still
Union
have one
Station?
In Union Station.
Oh, it's still there?
No, they don't.
Did it just close?
I think it closed a long time ago.
It closed a long time ago.
Oh,
Mr.
It
St.
became
Louis.
A different. It's still a restaurant. It's just
here
not
we
that
go.
Restaurant.
Here
That's
we
right.
go.
That's
he
right.
goes, did it just happen? And you,
well, I remember
just,
where
I
it
saw
was.
It.
Goes,
I saw it.
Goes,
I just
oh,
didn't.
Oh,
no, no.
He
I didn't
goes,
read
oh,
it.
Oh, it became a different restaurant. The Hard Rock Cafe is gone.
Yes, it is.
Gone for a long time.
It's the soda fountain now, I believe.
That's right.
Which is not affiliated with the Hard Rock Cafe.
And the last time I went there, it was the soda fountain. And I trolled the whole time. I was thinking, it's Hard Rock Cafe.
It couldn't be. It's like Candyland in there. It couldn't be less like the Hard Rock Cafe.
Hard Rock Cafe closed in August of 2018.
Oh my
2018.
Gosh.
That was like 7 years
That's
like
before
I said.
You were on this show. You've spent the entirety of your time on the Annie Fry Show, and the Hard Rock Cafe was gone. Yes.
And you know what? Every day I come in and I think about that.
Every day.
Every day I come in and
wow.
I go, thank God we still have a Hard Rock Cafe here.
I'm sorry to crush your dreams.
Gosh.
It's probably brutal right now for you.
Yeah, this has been really tough. It was a tough weekend. Arrested twice for streaking.
You'd think you'd learn the first time.
You'd think they'd learn not to let me out. I told them I was going to do it again. Next one is RFK Jr. has announced that states can ban sugary soda from their food stamp program.
I really want to see Illinois' advocacy as to why this is not right.
It puts states in a weird position, doesn't it?
And J.B. Pritzker is going to be like, what does it matter if it's unhealthy?
Well, hasn't up until now it been kind of a more of a leftist thing to use the government to make people more healthy? And now...
No. That's what they said. It was to make other people more wealthy.
Ah.
They sound kind of similar.
It does.
So that's where that comes into play.
It does sound similar. Thank you for that.
Yeah.
It's like one letter. Quote, the message that I want to give to the country today and to all the other governors is to get in line behind Governor Morrissey and apply for a waiver to my agency. And we're going to give it to you. That way, that's how we're going to win this, Mr. Kennedy said. He's talking about the governor of West Virginia, who is already applying for these waivers to ban things from the SNAP program. And Morrissey is in line. The only question I have here is, we kind of are focused on soda. You know, there's a lot of things that are not healthy for you. So I'm not sure why we're starting with soda.
Because it's completely worthless.
But it is completely worthless.
There's nothing. Diet soda is not good for you. It may be worse for you. I don't know. You don't need it.
No, you definitely don't need soda. And that's the argument, is that you're starting with soda. There probably are more things to come, but at least you start somewhere.
There have been studies that are showing how Big Soda worked to make sure that they were included in the SNAP program.
Mm-hmm.
Like what percentage of soda economy actually comes from government provided benefits.
Yeah, and it was pretty high, the studies that I saw. One more here. Morgan Wallen. Anybody watch Saturday Night Live this weekend or see the clips? Morgan Wallen sparked a controversy and a backlash when he walked off the stage at the end of the show. Yes, at the end of the show.
Yeah, I know.
All right.
Go on, keep reporting. We care deeply.
Right. Morgan Wallen.
We have to break.
Well, okay.
We'll be right back.
All right.